This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Y'all on this Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, encouraging nonsense.
This is awesome.
I need you to understand.
I love you
that.
All.
I'm still deciding, honestly, how I feel about y'all encouraging. Somebody said, John, tell them you upgrading your drip. Do not.
Oh,
do
I
not
am.
Do that.
No, there's no question
Somebody
about
said,
that.
John, say no cap. No, not doing that either. Let's circle back around to this. CJ Stroud talking about the offense. We talked about that a decent amount yesterday, just about especially the seeming freedom or control that he's going to seem that it seems like he will have in the 2025 season, particularly at the line of scrimmage, but just in general about what's happening here in the offense. But we did not get a chance to really dive as much into this portion of it and about how much it seems like Jerod Johnson might factor into this. Jerod Johnson, quarterback coach of this Texans team, that knows CJ incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
This was CJ actually talking about the importance of Jerod Johnson to what he is doing and to the organization.
Yeah, I think it's very important. You know, Jerod is somebody who has been with me since my rookie season, but also known me since I was in high school. I was like 16 years old. So for him to be here and seeing me in those different lights and those different points of my life, it's been cool. So I think it's be great for him, for him and Nick, because, Jerod is specialized in quarterbacks, and I think Nick is going to lean on him a lot in that area, and he's going to give him a lot more responsibility, which I think Jerod is due for, and I think he's going to do great with it. And I told him, he's one of the best coaches I've ever worked with, and just his – the way he thinks, the way he operates, the fact that he played, and really just, just a human being he is. And I'm excited to see him elevate just as a coach, and to be, more hands-on is going to be amazing.
All right, so let's talk about the nuts and bolts of this first.
Okay.
The nuts and bolts of what he said, and then we'll get into the impact that Jerod could have here with him. The nuts and bolts are, as you heard him say, I think he's going to have more responsibility. Well, that alone tells you that maybe Bobby Slowick wanted things done, a certain way.
No, I mean, I think we had a lot of things that could confirm that it felt like Bobby Slowick kind of hoarded more of the responsibilities as opposed to kind of sharing the responsibilities with the entirety of his staff to allow them to have the best ideas of what's going on. That was evidenced not just by that, but CJ Stroud just talking about getting what he wants and being able to have more control over the offense in general, but also specifically maybe ability to kind of change things at the line and dictate what's happening there. We have an abundance of evidence that kind of points to the idea of that.
And another couple of things that are sort of nuts and bolts aspect of what you just heard him say about Jerod Johnson. The second thing is, I think he appreciates the some semblance of continuity in the offensive room in Jerod coming back. That's the second thing. And the third thing, he said he's his specialty is quarterbacking. And I think that's where, Jerod and CJ.
I would hope so as a quarterback.
Well, yeah, exactly. No, I'm saying, but like that's his, super strength or whatever. But I also think you can extrapolate from that. Nick Caley's, he's going to lean on him more. That's his specialty. There's continuity. I think Nick, first of all, props to Nick Caley. If you're looking at this from the outside in. Huge kudos to Nick Caley for recognizing that he kind of, and we've speculated on this, he kind of has a blind spot when it comes to the passing game.
Does he? I mean, he was the passing game coordinator with the Rams.
I think you could easily argue that was a raise. They wanted to give him more money with the Rams. He specialized with the tight ends even as the passing, coordinator or whatever. He's been a tight ends coach his entire career, which is offensive line, which is run game, which is obviously tight ends. In terms of the passing game, I think it's very evident, and like I said, good to Nick Caley if he's doing this, like giving Jerod more, hey, you know, at least sounding board or listening to his recommendations or whatever, giving him that more responsibility, that's great for C.J. Stroud.
100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, as evidenced by obviously the conversation and what C.J. Stroud talked about, but also what we know of the association between C.J. Stroud and Jerod Johnson, who better if you're coming in and you're preaching an offense that is going to be geared towards the strength of your team, and if you also acknowledge that C.J. Stroud is the most important offensive and probably simply the most important player on your team, who better to help you gear your offense around that player than the dude who seems to know him very well and the dude himself, and including both of them in that formulation between Jerod and C.J.
And then there's another thing that I think is real important. You know, we didn't play this, but we heard it yesterday when C.J. Stroud was talking about Nick Caley. He said, yeah, we're still kind of getting to know each other. Which, you know, obvious for obvious reasons, they are.
Yeah.
But he's known Jerod Johnson since he was 16 years old. Like C.J. Stroud has said in the past that Jerod changed my life. You know, he said those are words that he's talked about with Jerod. So to have that deep and strong a relationship with the one guy in the room that you're going to be with the most while you're just getting to know, even if you respect and like and probably end up, you know, really liking whatever – the offensive coordinator, that's another just huge, huge thing. So it's really important for C.J. Stroud. I think it's going to be very important for Jerod Johnson, too. I think, you know, he's going to get a lot of accolades if they're successful and, you know, maybe even, you know, a head coaching job, much less a coordinator job, if this thing really works. But for C.J., from our perspective, what we care about the most, C.J. Stroud having a guy that he said changed his life, still there, and having more of a say in the passing game, that can be nothing but good for a guy that some people thought struggled last year.
Yeah, and I think that this is where I will absolutely agree. Well, I'll agree to a certain point that Jerod is going to be one of the most important people to the Texans' success. I think we would all agree that this is one of those years where you got to get something done. Like it cannot be the way that it has previously looked. Obviously, a couple of years ago, you could easily point to the idea that D'Amico's first year, CJ's first year, we're getting this thing together, we're going, right? So, like, having the success that you had late in the season and into the postseason, you're betting with house money. It's all gravy in that instance. Last year, you had some expectations, but they faltered, and I think you made some changes based off of that, acknowledging that, okay, the development that we were hoping to build off of year one did not happen.
Yeah.
Now in year three, with all of the chips that you push into the middle of the table when it comes to acquisitions of players, with all of the, you know, capital that you've utilized, and with the understanding that there's a window inherent in any push towards trying to be a champion, you cannot afford to waste another year of a C.J. Stroud's rookie contract. No. You cannot afford to waste another year of all of these talented players, particularly the ones that are a little bit older in age. Hell, one of them we were just talking about, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, that you brought into this, right? You can't afford to waste that. But then also, and then we were talking about this yesterday, with the idea of putting C.J. Stroud more of the offense in his hands is – you're taking away excuses, and it'd be a damn shame if you have real criticism brought on C.J. Stroud because the offense, as you talked about tailoring it to him, did not actually tailor to him properly. You were just talking about going to Supermart to get yourself a sport coat, right? What happens if you're like, oh man, I'm gonna give me a sport coat, and not saying the Supermart would do this because they would never do you wrong, but you go out there and it just doesn't fit right.
Yeah.
Like that would be a problem. It seems like he's going to be a huge part of making sure that this offense fits right to the most important guy. The fit gotta work. The fit absolutely has to be there properly.
And here's the other thing that just the more and more distance we get from the Bobby Slowick era, you start piecing all these things together, you realize Bobby Slowick was very, very much like his way or the highway.
Yeah.
Like he was bad for this offense. And it's easy to say, oh, you're just saying that because he's gone now. No, I'm the guy that called him the savant. I thought he was going to be great for this team. I had high expectations for Bobby Slowick. You know that if you've listened to this show for any amount of time. But now my eyes are open on this cat. When you put together, let's put together everything that we realize now, Bobby Slowick was just so, you know, hard pressed to change with. Offensive line blocking assignments. That came out relatively early.
Yes.
The more control at the line of scrimmage by C.J. Stroud. We heard that. Now you're finally giving the quarterback's coach, I don't know, quarterback coach duties. You know, whereas he was, you know, he was very stringent on some of those other things because you just heard him say he's going to have more of a say. In other words, maybe there was a disconnect there. Like all of a sudden I'm realizing Bobby Slowick was so, I just – hell-bent on doing things his own particular way.
I'm a little hesitant to say absolutely that they're quarterback coach duties, because there are other quarterback coaches that simply kind of help them, you know, implement the game plan on the quarterback level or what have you. But I do think it's interesting, especially for a first-year coordinator to come in and utilize all the resources available to him, right? Yeah. Like have a more communal effort. And I think that that probably tries to, in some ways, inoculate you away from, you know, possibility of failure, because you put more heads to it, right? And I think in most circumstances, you put more heads to a problem or to a situation, you give yourself a better opportunity of it going well. Plus, this is something we've talked about a lot, to circle it back to the offensive line, a part that's very important and hopefully you address to some degree in the rest of this week when it comes to the first, second, and third rounds of the NFL draft, is there's a big task in front of you when it comes to getting this offensive line right, especially when you look at it and you did not necessarily put a lot of like incredible players when it comes to talent wise on this offensive line. You're going to need to make sure that you have hand and glove fit when you have whatever five, and ultimately you want to make sure all the guys that you roster, whether it's 8, 9 offensive linemen, all pull in the same direction. And so there's a big task on Nick Kelly and Cole Popovich to do that. And I do wonder if having that more collaborative environment when it comes to building the offense in general, maybe frees up a little bit for Kelly to utilize some of the specialties when it comes to getting the tie ends right, right? Because one of the things I talk about, he has a lot on his plate. Yeah. How much is he going to be able to kind of tap into that specialized positional role of talking to the tight ends? Will he have a little bit more opportunity if it's a little bit spread out?
Yeah.
As offensive coordinator, not role necessarily, but some of that. And then also focusing in on this offensive line to make sure it's getting right, because none of this works if the offensive line as a foundation doesn't.
Well, for sure. But the way the collaborative part that you mentioned, I mean, you mentioned certain teams do things different ways, but ultimately every team wants it to be a collaborative effort. And what I'm saying is it clearly was not as collaborative as it should have been last year. Cole Popovich is a great example. He's a guy that came in and immediately sort of changed the way they're going to block. You know, if what we're hearing is accurate, with more gap scheme as opposed to zone, and changed personnel. There goes C.J. Stroud saying, oh, yeah, I mean, this guy is going to be so important and, you know, have a bigger say. Like, in an ideal world, what you said is correct. It should have been more collaborative, but it clearly was not.
Yeah, and so encouraging that it seems like it will be a little bit more collaborative. And I do hope that, like, again, using this kind of Taylor metaphor, that they do tailor this offense very well, because I think that's going to be super important to making sure that you get the best out of a lot of talented players on this offense. You got to make sure that the offense serves all of them properly. And I, again, applaud to Nick Kelly and Gerard Johnson to understand that, hey, man, he's going to be important in making sure that it fits right to CJ. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, again, it's the day of game two when it comes to this Rockets-Warriors series. You need to get a victory, let Lopez tell you. And so how do you do that? Well, one of the ways is just get a fantastic performance, maybe kind of like what Kawhi Leonard did. Mm. Do the Rockets have anyone capable of putting up a performance like that? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss it next.